Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer. Looking at, first week, becoming children. Our Father. The Lord's Prayer begins with our Father. Isn't it awesome? If that's all it was, that'd be enough. Because we realize that God is not just some ethereal being who lives in heaven. He's actually our Heavenly Father, and we can have a relationship with Him. How good is it? Come on. We've got a relationship with God. It's fantastic, but it gets better. We can become, second week was becoming aligned with Him. So our will, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the kingdom of God coming. When God's will is being done and it gets done through and in His glorious people, the church. Becoming aligned with God. It's almost getting exciting. But it gets better. Becoming dependent on God. Give us this day our daily bread. And it's realizing that all our springs of joy, our life, the breath in our lungs, our brains, our capacity to work, to earn, to live, to love, it all comes from God. And it's all, can we give God a big hand? I mean, how good's God? Go, Jesus. Go, Jesus. How good is it? It's awesome. But it's getting better because I'm preaching this week. Amen. And I'm going to preach on becoming whole. Sometimes your life is there as a warning to others. Yes, becoming whole. Today, and I want us to bring up, please, if the guy of our screens, wonderful screens team could bring up Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. I'm looking on becoming whole. And Matthew 6 verse 12, it's fantastic because it says this. It says, forgive us our debts. But I like the King James. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. I want you to know this morning, point one, and this is the point of today's message, to know that you and I have been forgiven. And I like, and anybody like, I love Spider-Man because they said, with great power comes great responsibility. We have, the point of today's message is we have been forgiven. We have been made whole. But with that power comes our responsibility to now forgive others. But point one is this, you and I have been forgiven. Forgive us our sins. Ephesians 1, 7 to 8 says, in Him, everybody say in Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now, some of us have spectacular testimonies. I've got a spectacular testimony. It can become more spectacular as I embellish it. But some of us have, and some of us were brought up in church. Like Estelle, shit, wasn't Estelle wonderful? What a treasure. Thank Estelle. And I think the most spectacular testimony of all is I was brought up in church and I'm still here. And God's good and He loves me. And it's, oh, that's the greatest thing. But we might have a spectacular testimony, like, for example, in our conference we've got coming up, which we saw advertised, we've got the one and only Trent Membry speaking. Trent has a spectacular testimony. Trent used to be one of the biggest methamphetamine dealers in Auckland. was kidnapped by a rival drug gang, tortured. They were going to kill him and find, but God delivered him and he got saved, and now he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's give Jesus a hand. That's pretty spectacular, I thought. And it's great. And here's the thing. But no matter who you are or where you're from, where you are on the journey, you have been forgiven. Or if there's anybody here online who doesn't know Jesus, you can be forgiven in Christ. And it's awesome. And that scripture in Ephesians says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And I love this here. It says, in accordance with the riches, everybody say riches, the riches of God's grace that he lavished. Everybody say lavished. He lavished upon us. And one thing I love about Christianity, it's so extravagant. When God wanted to save mankind, he didn't send some sort of B-grade angel down or he sent his very, very best, the person of Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He gave us his best and he lavished this grace upon us. In fact, I just love, there's this great psalm, I looked it up last night, Psalm 136. It's the most incredible psalm. It's got 26 verses and it talks about lavishness and it talks about riches and it says this, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Another translation says, his mercy. Everybody say love. Everybody say mercy. His mercy endures forever. Then it says, give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. And it goes on for 26 verses. And 26 times it says, his love endures forever. Time after time, it's simply reiterating the importance of understanding 26 times, God loves you. That love that he has for you will never die. 26 times. It's like that old joke. I'm a New Zealander, you see, so I can tell this joke. What's the difference between a New Zealander and a computer? And that is, you only have to punch information into the computer once. But here in Psalm 136, 26 times. Come on. His love endures. Everybody say that. His love endures forever. And if you repeated that 26 times, you would only just begin to understand and grasp the height, the depth, the width, the breadth of the love of Almighty God that he has for you and he has for your family. And if you've never met Christ, you need to know that love. And you can, by simply raising your hand and responding, you can go on a journey to knowing the love of God, but the best thing of all, to becoming like me. All right, just kidding. Let's continue on. Talk about mercy. Talk about love. Talk about grace. Jesus, who has never done a thing wrong and never hurt anyone except some money changers in the temple, but they deserved it, never spoken. He's there and they crucify him. And he's God in the flesh. And he's got the capacity. He said, put up your sword. As he's being arrested, he says, don't you know, I could call 10 legions of angels, 10,000 angels each. So that's like 100,000 angels. And they could have destroyed the planet. But he allowed it to happen. He allowed himself to be crucified. And on the cross, Jesus dispenses judicial forgiveness to all of mankind when in Luke 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, you are forgiven. You're forgiven in Christ. On the cross, Jesus received the wages of sin that were due you and I, and that's death. And Jesus on the cross did a trade and deal that even Cole Crawford and Bill Buckle on Pittwater Road couldn't compete with. I'm wearing my jacket this morning, my check jacket. I'm trying to look more and more like a car salesman. I need a side hustle, I need to make some cash somehow. There's no money in this business, I can tell you. And so maybe I should get a part-time job on Pittwater Road working for Cole Crawford. I actually officiated at Cole Crawford's funeral right here in this auditorium. So there you go. So what's that got to do with anything? I don't know, but it's exciting. But, you know, it's amazing and just, you know, blessing the family and helping them out. But anyway, let's move on quickly. Before I lose this crowd, they're a tough crowd. You're a tough crowd tonight. Okay. And, but you see, you know, imagine if you rocked up at Cole Crawford or Bill Buckle and you had a rusty old Holden or a rusty old Mercedes like Brad. Is it Dunga? What year is it, Brad? 81. Oh, I assume he's got an 81 Mercedes as old as the hills. But Renee, Brad's wife, likes old, clapped out things, but with lots of character. So she married Brad. But Brad's got an old Mercedes. Imagine if you happened to be there and some guy pulled up in a Lamborghini and said, is that an 81 Mercedes station wagon with rust and surf racks? And you said, yeah. And he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I've always wanted one. I'll trade and I'll swap you my Lamborghini V10 Diablo, orange in colour. And I'll just swap it. I'll do a trade-in for that clapped out 81 Mercedes station wagon. That's a great trade-in deal, right? But I'll tell you what, Jesus did a better trade-in deal in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now I'm rocking it. I remember once I was in New Plymouth, I was 21 years old, and a guy preached, did communion out of 2 Corinthians 5:21. And I've never forgotten, it's one of my life scriptures. Here it comes. It's going to come up in a second. By faith, it's there. Amen. And this is a great scripture. Get this. This is the trade-in deal to end all trade-in deals. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us. Jesus on the cross. Doesn't just, please leave that up there. He's on the cross. He doesn't simply take our sin and pay for it. He becomes sin. He made him who had no sin. He to be sin for us. He became sin and died for it. He took your sin. He took my sin and died for it and paid the price. But then, so that in him, we might become. I think the greatest thing about Christianity is you get the power to become the sons of God. You get the power to become the person God has always wanted you to be and the person that deep down you want to be. You get the power to become that, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Here's the thing, I want you to get this. Whenever I blow it, and I blow it from time, like I blew it in 2021, I blew it. 1998, I blew it again. 2023, one time I blew it. But apart from that, I'm good. But occasionally when I do blow it, I look in the mirror. And, you know, I always say, you know, if you want to succeed in Christianity, you've got to be able to overcome disappointment. Every time I look in the mirror, I get disappointed. But anyway. But you got to look in the mirror and you got to say this, Saundy, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. No matter if you completely stuff it up, listen, guys, You don't just have the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. How does it all work? I have no idea. But Katie Haldane does. She's got a doctorate. Or she's put in her big thingamajig to get a doctorate. I have no idea how it works. But I'll tell you what, I'm not a mechanic either. I don't know how my car works. But every day I get in it, I press the button, I put it in gear, and off I go. And I have no idea how it works. You know what? Get into God, press the button of faith, bang it in gear, and go on a journey to abundant and eternal life. Let's give Jesus a hand. It's awesome. Come on, girls, get excited. It's awesome. It's awesome. You are forgiven. It's fantastic. It's exciting. But here's the other side. With great power comes great responsibility. Maybe we could bring up Matthew 6:12. Again, forgive us our sins or forgive us our debts by faith that's appearing. Here it comes. There it is. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And now here it comes. And it was a good message until now, but now I'm going to trash it. Maybe go on the overhead, guys, to Matthew 6:14. And it says this, right at the end of the Lord's Prayer, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's the good news. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. How many people are challenged? Come on. I want to see, this has got to be the best altar call I've ever had. No one's putting their hand up, just me. Okay. Here it is. Not only must we learn to receive the forgiveness of God, we've got to dispense our forgiveness to those who are around about us. I think the greatest person who was ever betrayed in the Bible, apart from Jesus, was Joseph in the Old Testament. Who's heard about Joseph? Anybody? Or is it just me? Joseph, by the way, this is probably, 2,000 years or 1,500 years before Christ, before the Bible. This is before the Bible was written. This is before Jesus has come. Joseph is betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery for 20 pieces of silver. And then when he's in slavery, his master's wife thinks he's pretty cute. She makes a pass at him. He turns her down. She cries rape. Her husband believes her. He's sent to prison. And in prison, he interprets a dream of a guy. And when it comes true and this guy's released, he forgets about him for 2 years. How's that for getting let down? How's that for, mate, that must have been terrible. But he gets out of prison, you probably know the story, becomes prime minister of Egypt, possibly the most powerful position in the world. He's one of the world's most powerful men. And he gets married. And he and his wife get together and they have a son. And his name's Manasseh. Don't forget, Joseph's the most betrayed person in the Bible. And you know what Manasseh, his firstborn son's name means? This is what it means. Forget. And then he had another son, and his son's name was Ephraim. His second son's Ephraim. And Ephraim means twice fruitful. Here's a tip from Saundy this morning. If you want to be fruitful in your life, if you want to live an abundant, whole life, you need to be able to forget the offenses and the bad things that people do to you, and the times you've been let down, and the times you've been betrayed, and the times you've been lied to. You need to forget. You need to forgive. And then, like Joseph, you'll be fruitful and you'll live a life of wholeness and abundance. Now, the great thing is this. When someone came to Jesus, Matthew 22, 36, this Bible teacher came to Jesus and he said, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus replied, "Love." And this, by the way, there's 613 commandments in the Old Testament. I know because Katie Haldane told me. And what's the greatest commandment? Of all the 613 commandments of the Old Testament, you know what he said? Love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. He said, and there's a second one that's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang the entire law and the prophets. It's, and here's a bit of doctrine, here's a bit of heresy, but heresy from Saundy, here it comes. Look at me, everybody. It's not enough to love God. It's not enough to love God. Not only must you love God, you must love people. Because those two commandments go hand in glove. You can't have one without the other. In fact, the second commandment of loving people is a direct outworking and an expression of the first, of loving God. A great pastor, friend of mine, Neil Dowling, who's married to Jan. Anybody know Neil and Jan Dowling? Great people. He said this to me in 1996, and I've never forgotten it. He said, "To a large extent, my relationship with God is played out in how I treat my wife, Jan." That how you treat people is true spirituality. And while it's great to go to Bible studies, and while it's great to go to prayer meetings, that is awesome. But the rubber really hits the ground with how you treat other people. See, here's the thing. It's easy. You know, you've got to love God, right? And you've got to love people. Now, it's easy to love God because he's up here. It's easy. But actually, people are down here and we're mixing with them and rubbing shoulders with them morning, noon, and night. It's easy to love God because God's perfect. But people are not perfect. It's easy to love God because what he says, he'll do. It's hard to love people because they're going to let you down. It's easy to love God because he always turns up on time. It's hard to love people. They're always late. See, God is not going to scratch your car. Your kids will do that. God's not going to overspend on your credit card at Westfield. Your wife will do that. God's not going to spend too much time surfing or on the golf course. Your husband will do that. And true spirituality comes in life, in the real world, when we love, we forgive, we forget, we embrace, and we move on together as God's family. I'm working hard. In fact, let me read this scripture to you. This is 1 John. This will probably come up on the screen too. 1 John 4. And let me just recite a little bit before it. 1 John 4:7-8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, For lovers of God and everybody who loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not does not know God, for God is love. Maybe the biggest three words in the Bible, God is love. Now look at 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen and who's in brackets and who's made in God's image cannot love God whom they have not seen. It's ridiculous because God's so easy to love, but people are so hard to love. People make mistakes. People let you down. And usually that's not because they're bad people. It's because they are people like you who also let people down and don't always follow up and don't return that phone call. So if I'm promised to give you a call, you got to forgive me, right? Okay, this is where it's going. Okay, now this is it. And I'll close with this morning. What does it mean? By the way, what does it mean when the preacher says, I'm closing with this? What does it mean? Nothing. Okay. But there's this great movie called The House of Gucci, right? The House of Gucci. And in it, it's got this great cast. Lady Gaga's in it. She's fantastic. Adam Driver's in it. He's fantastic. Al Pacino, Jared Leto's in it. He's fantastic and unrecognizable. And he is Guido. And he's the son of Al Pacino in the movie. I love Al Pacino. So Guido, in fact, we'll get Guido getting played by Jock Aitken this morning. And Guido, now this is not knocking you. I'm just using this as an example, Jock. So don't hassle Jock. I'm the only one allowed to hassle Jock, right? But Guido isn't the sharpest tool in the shed. And in fact, there's probably a couple of sheep that have gone wandering out of the top paddock with poor old Guido. But anyway, he owns shares in Gucci. And Al Pacino comes, his father. And Guido goes, Daddy, I got to tell you, look at this paper. And he looks at it and says, what is this? This is Al Pacino. What is this? He says, I sold my shares in Gucci. And Al Pacino goes, I needed the money, Daddy. I needed the money. And Al Pacino goes, no. I'm done. I'm dead. No, Daddy, please. I'm dead. Come here, Guido. He said, get up. He grabs Guido and he says, you're an idiot. But you're my idiot. You're an idiot. But you're my idiot. It's like that with God. Michelle, put your arms around Ryan right now. Say to him, you're an idiot. But you're my idiot. I have a confession to make, everybody. I'm an idiot. But I'm God's idiot. In spite of all my stuff, in spite of all my weaknesses, in spite of the stupid things I say, many from this pulpit, I might add, God still loves us. God still forgives us. You can't control what people are going to do to you. There's only one person. Now, Kerry in Bali, listen. There's only one person, darling, you can control, and she's got the credit card over there. That's yourself. You can control yourself. Because God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and spirit of self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Forgiving people who hurt you is impossible. Now I'm going to finish with this, really. Listen, you can't do it. In your own strength, you'll never be able to forgive people for the hurt they inflict on you, real or imagined. You can't do it. But God can do it. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's the love of God. Zechariah 4:6 is not by might. It's not by power. It's by His Spirit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through God, you can accept His forgiveness. And then you can forgive others in the wonderful name and power of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.